You find it? There you go. That's it, bro. Yeah. And so I got here this morning, and I thought I had my act together, but even when my head's not hurting, sometimes my act is not quite together. Let's see. There we go. Let's see here. And I left my glasses. That's really cool. And my glasses down upstairs, so I can't even see what I'm doing. I'm telling you, God has to have a sense of humor. Don't you think it? Oh, you can't call up Word and get PowerPoint. You got to call up PowerPoint. Y'all look over and say something to somebody. Y'all, no dead space. The only dead space right now is between my ears. Y'all be talking. Somebody say something. Somebody say something for the Lord. How about that? Somebody testify. I mean testify. I don't mean get up and talk about how bad you got. Somebody can testify how good God's been to you. I've got this over there. I got mine. I just didn't have it on me. I got them. I don't know where I like. There they are. Yep. We can pray. Yes, let's pray. Please do, because like I said, my head. You can't come up to me though. Just from right there, y'all pray, because I do. I have to admit, I do have a. Well, let me try this again. This time with my glasses. Yeah, I was blind. Now I see. Okay, here we go. There we go. That's what. Yeah. When I pray for everybody else, when we get to the end of the prayer, I want everybody just to throw your hands up here and ask God to touch, because it's bad to have a nose like this big and it don't work. It's kind of like having a 747, and all you can do is carry a lunch bag in it. Okay. All right, y'all stand. Let's just pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for ministering to us and through us, God. And I thank you, God, for all that you say and do it all the time. There's nothing beyond you. And I ask you to bless your word today. I ask you to bless everybody here today. Lord, and those that would like to be here and can't, and those, Lord, that are still struggling with what's going on around us, I know that you've got this, and we trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And now, throw it on me. Y'all go ahead and throw it on me. That's right. Lord, just touch my head, and we thank you for that too. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Although, you can be seated. The doctor did tell my mama when I was born, she said, one day that boy's going to have trouble with that head. I do have a story to tell you about two youngins. Here's their names. You might know this. I'm not sure. There were two brothers, and they were left alone in the kitchen. I'll just call their name out, and then y'all can see if y'all know who they are. The older brother, BJ. Because my kids aren't here. They were the ones I was shooting for, was DC and Daniel. I don't have them. So the next best thing to hit is those two. All right, here we go. So the older brother, BJ, pulls an egg carton out of the refrigerator. He pulled the eggs out of the refrigerator and told his little brother, Brandon, I'll give you $5 if you let me break three eggs over your head. So Brandon said, you promise? And BJ said, yes, I promise. $5 if you let me break three eggs over your head. So he pulls out an egg and he broke it over Brandon's head, and it oozed down through his hair and ran down his face, and then he pulled out the second egg and he broke it over Brandon's head, and this time it was even really messier. It went all the way down his neck and down his back and inside his shirt collar. And after the second one, Brandon really braced himself. Now, he knew it was coming. He knew the third egg was really going to be nasty, and as he waited. And he waited. And he waited, but the third egg never came. Finally spoke up and said, hey, what's the deal, BJ? When's the third egg coming? And finally BJ spoke up and said, it's not. You know, if I broke that last one over your head, it would cost me $5. And I did ask permission from one of the brothers before I told that. I really did it to my brother. And I also had another one did my brother. I told him, I said, he kept talking about me eating a raw egg. I said, I tell you what, I'll eat the raw egg if you eat the shell. He said, I don't believe you'll do it. I said, watch me. I ate the raw egg. And he said, what about the shell? I said, you got to keep your end of the bed. He said, I'm not. I said, yeah, you are. I was a little bit bigger than he was, and guess who ate the eggshell? My brother. I bet he's 57 years old, and he's still picking out pieces of egg from his mouth. All right, here we go. I'm going to put up something y'all might not have seen lately. Some of y'all might really have, I don't know. Been coming in like a storm. Matter of fact, I thought about this while I was in the doctor's office. COVID-19 is something that was not expected, and now people are getting it left and right, and they don't know where they're getting it from sometimes. Sometimes we do know, sometimes we don't know. It's just gotten crazier and crazier and crazier. And they said part of the problem you'll know if you've got it is you got a bad headache. And of course, I do have a very bad headache. I got one right now, but at the same time, I knew mine was sinuses because of the way it was. But still, some people, they're not getting any relief. I think about that COVID-19. And one thing I did find out, and y'all know, is it put the entire world in a holding pattern. You know what a holding pattern is? When a plane's coming in to land, it sees the runway, but the runway is congested, or maybe there's been problems on the runway. The lights aren't working. There's been a wreck on the runway. There's been something happened on the runway. And because of it, the people in the holding pattern, although they can see where they're going, they can see their destination, they can't reach it because they're constantly just circling. This isn't like the 40 years in the wilderness where they kept going by the promised land. That's different. That's because of sin of the nation. Although I know our country hasn't, you know, we can't hop up and holler how holy we are. You know, in some ways you could even think maybe we're just seeing the promised land, seeing the entrance, and we're not getting in right now because of this. I'm not saying that, but I am saying that our whole country, not only our whole country, our whole world has been put on hold. There's a lot of things people want to do and they can't. There's, you know, how many in here have had things that you did on a normal, everyday basis, just about every day or every week that you haven't done since January, February? We're on a holding pattern. We're in a holding pattern. You know, the circumstances on the ground has forced us to keep circling, waiting for the okay to put down the wheels and take off. So the world is locked down by COVID-19, so we had to wait. That's what my joke was about, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it. We were locked down by COVID-19, we had to wait. And just when it seemed like we were starting to get just a little break, the perfect storm, civil unrest. And so then we wait again. And now we're just waiting for where's the next hot spot, what's going to happen, you know, what's getting ready to take place, and crazy stuff has been happening. So we're still waiting. But before the unrest sees any breaks, the election season starts. And I can promise you, you can tell by the ads on television, you can tell by the way both sides have miscommunicated the truth and used it to their advantage, both sides. Okay? It's not like, well, I'm telling all the truth and they're not. No, you'll see that there's truth blended into both sides, but there's also distortions blended in to both sides. So you better get the facts for yourself before you make any decisions. Don't just take anybody from in politics, just their idea, and go for it. You better check it for yourself, because now we have a nation divided. And because of that, again, there's blame going around about us being locked down, but what about the whole world being locked down? So we're waiting, and we're waiting. And now they're talking about November 3rd. We may not even have a president by January 20th if they do the mail-in votes, if they do the mail-in ballots. I'm not talking about absentee ballots are fine, but if we do the mail-in ballots, they're already having races up north where they have mail-in ballots, and they still don't have not declared winners, and it's been months. Okay, and I'm not being political right now. What I'm just saying is we'd have to wait. I'm just talking about to wait and wait and wait. And if we don't have it, I'm going to tell you something. Some of you might yell hallelujah, and some of you might go, oh, no. But if we don't have a president decided by January 20th, Nancy Pelosi is our president, if she's still Speaker of the House. So I'm just telling you, that's true. That's not, I didn't mind making this up. It's Constitution. The Speaker of the House takes the position until they do come up with the elected person. Okay, so it's not a permanent position. It's a temporary position, but that's what's coming up. So we got all this waiting and waiting, and now you're going, what's going to happen with the lockdowns? These businesses are closing down for good. Restaurants closing down for good. And then the civil unrest. When is it going to get any better? Every time you think you're getting some breakthrough, you know, and you know, it's just constant. It's just constant wait, wait, wait. And the biggest problem with waiting is becoming anxious. We get full of anxiety. Now, and I'm not here making a political statement at all. None of this is political. I'm just telling you what's going on. If you can't see this going on, then obviously your TV's stuck to TV land and you don't get any newspapers. And you know, Daniel did get a call from one of his friends 4 months after Minnesota and said, you know what happened in Minnesota? He said, yeah. He said, I can't believe it. I just heard about it last night. He said, where have you been? He said, well, I don't watch TV. He says, well, do you read a newspaper? Do you talk to anybody? And so again, waiting, 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 waiting. So waiting causes anxiety. Anxiety, when it begins to flourish in your mind, it causes you not only to wonder what if, it begins to build scenarios in your mind with the limited amount of information that you get, whether good, bad, or ugly. It takes that information, it begins to process it, and as it begins to process it, it then makes your anxiety become more than anxiety. It leads to anxiety attacks, it leads to anxiety problems, it also leads to depression. So anxiety constantly, it'll lead to depression itself. So again, this is all that's going on around here. So where's God in all this? I mean, why don't we see more people talking about God? Why don't we hear more people talking? You know, in the churches all over the world, you're hearing about God, but he's not being plastered all over the media like some of the other stuff's being plastered all over the media. Because if God was plastered all over the media like some of this other stuff, this stuff would start calming down. Instead, God's being pulled out of the way. The picture's being gone. The cross is out of the way. Okay? So again, we wait. And we wait. And we wait. So here it is. We got all these question marks in our head. What about the COVID? You know, now I saw yesterday where they're having some re-breakouts of COVID and what they're going to do about it. And they first said, once you've had it, you won't get it again. Now they're saying, no, if you get it now, your antibodies are only good for about 3 months, and then you can get sick again. I did find out there's one animal that does not get sick. Did you know that? There's one animal in this world that does not get sick. You know who that is? It's ants. Ants don't get sick. You know why? Because they have those little antibodies. I see if y'all are listening. Y'all are definitely listening. Okay. So now. There's reasons, though, when you're waiting, instead of getting full of anxiety, so full of anxiety that you start building these unreal scenarios in your mind. As you build these unreal scenarios in your mind and you begin to dwell on them, it begins to shut you down. And eventually, when it shuts you down, there comes depression. Instead of doing that, start thanking God. So here's our verse. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait on the Lord, Psalm 27:14. We'll go deeper into that next week because this is part one. But I just said, wait on the Lord, be strong, that your heart take courage, wait on the Lord. So again, here we go. Let's bring it down to local. We've done worldwide, everybody on wait, but let's talk about ourselves now. Let's just talk about when your life's put on hold. Has your life, not only with COVID and not only with the civil unrest and with the election, has your life ever seemed like it was put on hold? I'm going to give you some examples. You were expecting growth, but you feel stagnant. Anybody ever done that? You ain't got to raise your hands, but anybody felt that way? You're expecting joy, but you feel pain. You're expecting breakthrough, but instead you feel broke down. Don't raise your hands, but I'm telling you, if you've ever been there, you know the seriousness of feeling like your life has been put on hold, especially if there's somebody you know in your family, your people that you work with or friends that may have been experiencing something similar to what you're experiencing, but now they do feel growth. They do feel joy. They do feel breakthrough, but there you are still feeling stagnant, full of pain, and broke down. And this is what happens here. You pray and you expect, but all there is wait. The number one answer to everything that people say is this. Watch this. You got to tell people I'm not feeling good. We're praying for you. I'm having problems with my kids. We're praying for you. I'm having problems with my job. We're praying for you. Well, you know, that's wonderful. I really appreciate that. But number one is, are you really? Has that just become my little pull it out and show this, you know, that's my pat answer. I'm praying for you because I have told people, I'm being honest. Now look, this is honest. I've told people I'll pray about that for you and then forget. And you would feel bad when they come up to you and go, thank you so much for praying for me. I don't know how I would have got through it if you hadn't known you were praying for me. I'm thinking. So what I do is I carry around anointing salve, and people see me wherever, not so much anymore because we're not out anywhere, but I carry the anointing balm with me. And when somebody says, pray for me, I say, let me see your hand. We don't have to make a big deal out in Walmart, you know, raise your hand up and let's get a prayer line started. No, I anoint their hand and I'll pray for them and I'll say, they said, why are you doing it now? I said, because I don't want to forget. This is too important. I can't forget this. And so I start praying for people right then. But again, people pray. You say, or they'll just go, just pray. Remember I told you about the guy I saw in Walmart told me that I shouldn't be feeling bad about Bethany. I should already be over it. And she only been dead a couple of months. And he said, I should be over it by now. All I got to do is pray and God will take it away. That's the closest I'd been to whipping somebody in Walmart. I mean, I really did. I had to walk away with tears in my eyes. He kept following me. If he'd have followed me one more aisle, that'd have been maintenance. We need a cleanup on aisle six. I also need an investigation. So, you pray, nothing happens, and you wait. And you wait. But you got to know something. God understands. He knows about waiting. He knows about his plan. And he knows how his plan, you know, how would it have been if he was creating the world and when it was just darkness and chaos, and he spoke the words and the Holy Spirit went over and brought the spears of coming. What if he decided on day two, I think, you know what, I'd rather have the birds here. Or maybe I could put Adam and Eve here. No, he waited because he knew the plan. And each day had a plan. So he didn't get anything out of order. He had a plan in creation. He also had a plan for Calvary. He knew, said, in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, to carry. That's at the perfect time, because if Christ had been here now, they never would have crucified him. Okay, somebody would have stepped in. So again, God has a plan. And God even himself waits for his plan. So now let me ask you a question. Now you can raise your hand. Ready? Here we go. Who likes to wait? Raise your hand. I saw people getting ready to put their hand up when I said, who likes to wait? They went, no, we don't like to wait. Let me ask another question. I can even answer your question for you. How many here's got microwaves? How many likes microwave popcorn? How many here have stuff that you like to put in a bowl, a microwave bowl, and put your food in there and warm it up? How many instead would like every day to use a pressure cooker? See, we don't like to wait. We want instant gratification. We want life's naughtiest problems solved in a half an hour. See, we get watching, look, we watch Matlock. Matlock in 1 hour can solve the worst case that nobody's been able to solve for 100 years. In 1 hour, he solves it. Columbo, just one more thing, ma'am. And in 90 minutes, he's done solved the Jimmy Hoffa murder. So we sell this on television. And we want it for ourselves. It isn't that easy. So the question is, with all this being fed to us, we see a 30-minute show, you know, the 30-minute gun smokes. I love them 30-minute gun smokes the very first few years. But that 30-minute gun smoke you don't get a whole lot of storyline because they're too busy putting the plot in and them solving the problem. And so they give it an hour so you can put some more storyline in the middle of all that, fixing it and solving the problem in 30 minutes. So even gun smoke, they had to learn to wait. So here it is. Why is it so hard for us to wait? I mean, as time goes by, we get so much instant stuff, instant grits, instant oatmeal. I remember when I was a little boy, Mama would be cooking all morning long, making pancakes for three youngins that were like human garbage disposals. She'd been making pancakes. She'd say, boys, is that bus coming yet? Because y'all don't quit eating until the bus comes. Or watch her make oatmeal. And you had to make it and cook it and boil it. And now you need oatmeal, throw it in there and put some water. There it is. Microwave, 30 seconds. You need some pancakes, waffles, stick them in the microwave, 30 seconds. We're programmed not to wait. So we're programmed. Think about it. Look at somebody and say, you're programmed not to wait. So let's go a little bit further. We're not going to take it too long today, but we're going to hit a few high notes, and then we're gonna set it up for next week. And I'm glad that we're gonna go this way because next week this sinus infection will be gone. Praise God, I hope. All right, I believe. Somebody say we're praying for you. Now really do it. Okay? So here we go. Yeah. Waiting. So here we go. You ready? Waiting on the Lord is one of the most sanctifying. Listen to me. Waiting on the Lord is one of the most sanctifying preparations for service. I can't even express that enough. It's one of the most sanctifying preparations for service. It's necessary in the aspect of the Christian life. You look at anybody that God used in the Bible. They had wilderness experiences. They went 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. They spent 40 years preparing Moses. He was spent 40 years getting in trouble, spent 40 years preparing, and then 40 years getting everybody out of trouble. So it's not like it just happens overnight. We want it right now. Fix me up now. Beam me up, Scotty. No. Sometimes it's going to take time. The Bible says, oh Lord, your ways are higher than our ways, your thoughts higher than our thoughts. And that is Isaiah 55:9. So again, we pray in hope, but then we have to wait on the Lord to answer. I'm guilty myself. We pray for God to do something about it, and while we're waiting on Him, we try to fix it ourselves. You saw that thing in the mechanic shop that said, the way it worked was, if we do your work ourselves, it's $5 an hour. If you watch, it's $10 an hour. If you help, it's $25 an hour. We got to get in there. We got to get it fixed. We got to fix it. And God says, if you get out of the way, I'll fix it. I remember working on a rescue squad and in the fire department. We spent more time getting people out of the way so we could work on them than we did working on the person. We always had to have people keeping people out of the way. Y'all, you're not helping. you're not helping. We had a guy here, no joke, years ago. Y'all remember Art Bailey? Some of y'all remember Art Bailey? He's from Oriental. He now lives in Texas. Well, Art, forgive me. I know he's watching, and he's moved again. I can't keep up with it, but he's somewhere. He's not here anyway. And we stopped. We had his son got married, and his son, both of them are Marines, Art and his son, they're both Marines. And at the ceremony, we were joking and carrying on, but at the ceremony, his son was standing at attention, and his big balls of sweat were just rolling down his face, and he was looking like, oh, dude. I'm thinking, dude, are you okay? He was still just standing there, I do. And so when it was all over with, they're over at the fellowship hall, and I get in my car to go see my dad. And when I go to see my dad, I get a phone call, and it's Art, and first somebody calls me and says, you remember that the wedding you just did? I said, yeah, they said the groom died. I said, what? They said, yeah, the groom died. And I said, come on now. They said, we found him unconscious in the bathroom. And he's dead. And I said, it can't be. And all of a sudden, Art calls, and Art says, hey, man, my son, he's not doing too good. I said, I heard he died. He said, hit it over, son. I said, you did, son? He said, no, Dad. Somebody in there said, y'all back up. I'm a medical professional. And looked down and said, he's dead. Well, he lived through that one. Everybody thinks they can fix it. Sometimes you might think you're a professional at something, and you still can't fix it. Back up. Let God fix it. Step out of the way. Let God fix it, okay? So we pray and hope. Then we have to wait on the Lord for the answer. The Puritans, which were part of like the Pilgrims, they developed called the doctrine, or a doctrine of waiting. And they even called it God's school of waiting. Wait on the Lord, be strong, take courage, wait for the Lord. Now again, I'm not going to keep you much longer, but I don't want to leave you hanging, so you have to wait till next week to get started on this. Y'all help me out here. I'm struggling. Y'all help me. Okay. Waiting. As difficult as it can be, waiting builds your spiritual muscles in a unique manner. Waiting does something for you that nothing else can. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40 and 31. Now watch this. That word wait means to bind together to make strong. They that wait on the Lord is not an absence of working, but it's an absence of doing it your way. Now you're waiting on God. You're binding with Him. And okay, God, we're going to move through this thing, but we're going to move through it with it. Your direction, not mine. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm going to back up and let you fix it and watch what will happen. And that word renew means to sprout again. You may feel like you're about to die. Feel like you hadn't seen any fruit in years, but if you learn how to wait on God, and that's not a cessation of activity, it's quit doing it your way. Back up, let go, watch what will happen. So, again, waiting on the Lord does so many good things for us. So, I'm getting ready to close. Let's see what we're going to do. Here's number one. What does waiting do for us? I'm going to do this, and then we're going to be wrapping this up. Next week we'll finish it up. When we have to wait, it causes us to pray without ceasing. I had a man tell me early on when I first became a Christian, he meant well. He came up to me and he said, I said I had a problem at work or something. He said, you pray about it? I said, yeah. He said, leave it alone. I said, okay. He said, don't ever pray about it again. Never, never pray about it again. He said, pray about it again. It's an act of weakness, and it's a show of no faith. And I went, okay. And then I ran up on this one, pray without ceasing. Okay. And then the widow woman, Luke 18, she would not stop harassing the judge until the judge heard her case. And constantly ask, seek, and knock. And I kept reading that stuff, and I went back to him, and I said, you said if I ask more than once, then I'm actually showing a lack of faith. I said, but look at all these scriptures right here. He said, well, that's what I believe. And so I walked away to myself and I said, well, that's not what I believe. Because the Bible says keep on praying, don't stop. That's right. You pray till the answer comes. So again, here it goes. We are needy. Did you know that? We are needy. But he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Wow. And owns the hills thereof. He's always faithful. And the outcome of our waiting always proves him true. What I've discovered is usually when I'm at the point where I want to quit, that's usually the point where God shows up. And many times when I did quit and did it on my own, I saw that I could have had the answer, but I did not wait. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18 in the message. Be cheerful no matter what. Pray all the time. Thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you who belong to Christ Jesus to live. So when we're praying, watch this. When we're praying to God all the time, here's what it does. Number one, it causes divine connection. Now I'm connected to Him. Wait on the Lord. I'm connected to bind together. I'm waiting. Now we're connected. He desires it. Also, it causes divine communication because now I'm listening for Him. I'm waiting because, you know, sometimes He doesn't just give you a verbal. Sometimes He doesn't give it to you in His words. Sometimes He gives it to you by what's going on around you, and you see it happening. So now He's communicating. And then it brings divine consolation because He's going to respond. One thing I can say, He's not always responded the way I wanted Him to, but He's always responded. And when He responded, His way was the right way. So I'm going to close on this. BJ, I'm going to get ready. 10 things we can do while we're waiting. Number one, do not lose confidence in God's goodness. He ain't forgot you. He has not forgot you. You may think so. He hadn't. Number two, be strong. Number three, do not lose hope. Number four, be patient. Number five, let God be your shield and your help. Number six, continue to cry out to God. Number seven, cling to His word. Number eight, watch for His answer. Number nine, trust His unfailing love. And number 10, rejoice in His redemption. God doesn't always answer when you want Him to. He don't always answer the way you want Him to. I talk about it all the time, and that's part of why I know I'm healing, because I do talk about it, and I can talk about it without falling all to pieces. But one of the things with Beth now, I desired so much for Beth. We, all of us, y'all too, me, Linda, her siblings, we all wanted her to be healed. Because I believe she was born to make a difference. Well, and I even brought that up in the prayers. God, she's born to make a difference. She hasn't got a chance to even get close to what she could do. Lord, can you heal her? Will you heal her? Won't you heal her? I profess it. I claim it. I claim the healing for Bethany. Because you've got great things for that girl. Well, God answered prayer. Remember this, God always, y'all say always, God always heals. I'm going to tell you how. Number one, by miracles, instantaneous. I've had it happen to me. I know you've had it happen to you. An instantaneous miracle, it's gone. Second, through time, doctors, medicine, therapy. As long as we don't confuse those two, we can't think God's not listening. But number three, the ultimate healing is when God takes us home to be with Him. Because you'll never, ever suffer sickness again. So God answered that prayer with Bethany. He took her home. But he fulfilled what he was telling me all this time, that she was born for a purpose and that she was going to make a big difference. And the difference was not even over. It hadn't even got started yet. You know, it's amazing. Just this right here. Team Bethany, God's got this. And the one that says God's got this, and either way I'll win. There's about 900 of these things out. And they got all over all kinds of states. They're in Tennessee, in Georgia, Florida. They're all over the place. They're in Pitt Detention Center. They're in prisons. And although Bethany's not here on earth with us, God told me that she was destined to do great things. She is. She's not alive this way, but she's alive this way. And it just keeps on going on and on and on. And when I go into Pitt Detention Center, they'll tell me, we need you to go get some more of those. Team Bethany, God's got this. Bring them on in. We need some more of them. We need more of them. And I'll see guys I've been ministering to for years, and I'll watch and I'll see people pull up somewhere, and they'll go, hey man, Bethany's still making a difference. Although she's not physically with us, she's still making a difference. And I tell her story everywhere. New guys come into Pitt Detention Center, and they'll go, can you please tell us about your daughter? Say, because we've heard a bunch about her. The other guys are telling us about her. Can you tell us about her, and can you please tell us her story, and can you please bring us some bracelets? And I say, sure. Wait on the Lord. Be strong. And know that God's got this. And He's going to work it out His way. Not our way. His way. Everybody stand. Sings my soul, sing it, my Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, He's great, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Today, if you're here with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in a holding pattern, you can't understand it. You're trying to figure this out. You're expecting growth, but you're stagnant. You're expecting joy, but you find pain. You're expecting breakthrough, but you just keep getting pushed down further and further and further. I'm speaking to you right now. Nobody looking around, every head bowed. You're ready for some breakthrough. You're ready for God to help. And you're trying to learn how to be more patient in your wait, no matter what age you are. You're trying to figure this out, and you're trying to get God, give Him some glory in this, but you're still having a hard time with all of this. When nobody's looking around, would you put up that hand and say, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I'm ready for breakthrough. I'm ready for healing. I'm ready for the struggle to end. I'm ready for You to show something strong, Lord. That, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch everyone here, God. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord, while they're waiting. Help them, Lord, to learn to be thankful while they're waiting, to trust You in the wait, to know that You've got a way, You got a will, and You're going to take care of business. And we thank You for all that You do for us, Lord, right now. in the name of Jesus. Let's all pray together. Ready? Lord, I give myself to you. I trust you wholeheartedly. I rededicate my life to you, to your purpose, through your power, through your anointing. And I ask you right now to do with me as you would. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm ready for surgery now. I know you can't see it, but I'm actually smiling. I don't need to operate on anybody. I can tell you that. So Tuesday night, we're still talking on Tuesday night about stress. So come out here Tuesday night. Don't get